I would like to welcome you on this beautiful morning. Last week, I touched upon mantra, kriya, and aushadhi. These are the three things when we bring in our lives, it brings our divinity closer to us. It's one of the prescriptions in our tradition. It relates to your practice, the mantra, mitra, that friend. Is another name of your divine self, another name of your wholeness. That very moment I think of my mantra, I'm not calling somebody else, I'm evoking, remembering that self, which is whole, which is complete, which is divine. Mantra. Kriya. Just having this understanding about the mantra is not enough. It needs a little more support. So, the rituals. Rituals are like kriya. So in your practice, when you are practicing at your home, the puja that you do or that you are taught is also a part of kriya. Anything that we do that supports the notion of wholeness, the divine self, can be kriya. Now, so puja is like a kriya. In puja, two things are very important. Cleansing. It's called bhut shuddhi, purifying the past, letting go of that which may have clung on to me in the past. The past could be, it could go as long back as your previous life, or it could be just a moment ago, an hour ago, during the day. Time is just a concept in the mind, you know, it's kriya. So the kriya that we are taught, the bhuta shuddhi, letting go of the past, is through pranayama. When you sit down to do your formal practice, first you cleanse yourself through the air element. Chitvijalla pavak gagana samira pancha tattva racha sharira. Our body is made out of five elements, just in different combinations. Everything is made out of five elements. So we use one of the elements to cleanse this compounded five elements. We use the air first, Through pranayama, you are taught to breathe in through the left, hold your breath three times as long, out through the right twice as long. So whenever you sit down on your meditation seat, first you just ground yourself and do the kriya of bhut shuddhi, pranayama. And while you are doing it, you know what you are doing. It's not just mechanical. You're sitting down there to just doing the pranayama, and while doing it, you know you're cleansing yourself from letting go of whatever may have clung on to you. After pranayama, achmani, you take a little water, a few drops in your right palm, and saying Om Tat Sat, as if you are charging that water with the mantra Om Tat Sat, and you partake it, just a few drops. The very moment that charged water touches your lips, you know what is it doing. You know that with this water that's charged with the mantra Om Tat Sat, I'm cleansing myself, letting go of all the past. I am sitting on this meditation seat, totally pure in the moment. I'm not bringing in anything from the past. I'm not jumping off into the future. I'm here, now, totally cleansed, to be face to face with the divinity. That's what the word darshan means. Darshan means to be face to face. In India, people go to temples. You ask them, where are you going? I'm going to have a darshan. That's all. And the darshan could be just a moment. They go to the temple, there is the statue, and they just bow and come back. Some can spend hours there in the temple, dinging the bell, ringing the incense, and waving, and you could do all kinds of things. And some just go from a distance, get a glimpse, and bow, and go home. Darshan means face to face. You are facing God, that wholeness, that greatness, face to face. God is looking at you and you are looking at God. That's what the word darshan really means, to be face to face. That wholeness is looking through you, looking at you, and you are looking at that wholeness fully. We're not avoiding our glance. We're not hiding. Looking eye to eye. So, you prepare yourself, you cleanse yourself to be face to face. You may have something that you have, you're feeling shy, guilty, remorse, anger, whatever. But through kriya, we cleanse ourselves of all these. So you can be ready to be face to face with that wholeness. And it's not just a mental concept. You have been given the permission by the rishis, by the gurus, by the that through these rituals, through these kriyas, you're cleansed, you're purified. That is your true nature. You are clean, you are pure, you are whole. When you sit down to meditate, when you sit down to have a darshan, it's that which is ever pure, ever shining in you, the Atmaram, that never gets defiled, that never gets blemished. It's constantly shining. It's just our memories, associations, ideas, concepts clouded. And then we begin to identify with that cloud. Then we feel guilty, we feel resentful, we feel fearful. So through Kriya, at least you create a little opening so you can be face to face with that wholeness that you are trying to bring in your life. So we have pranayama and achmani, three times. Now why three times? The first one is atmatattvam shodhayami. I am purifying my Atma Tattva, that element that's ever pure. I'm just cleansing that, the Divine Self in me. Atma Tattvam Shodhayami, Jnana Tattvam Shodhayami Swaha. I am purifying my knowledge element in me. Even the knowledge I may have, that knowledge gets blemished and defiled and covered. I'm making that jnana tattvam, the jnana, the knowledge, cleansing that. And shiva tattvam sodhayami swaha. I'm cleansing my Shiva Tattva, Shiva, the eternal blissful state. Atma Tattvam, Jnana Tattvam, Shiva Tattvam. So these are the three that's why you do Achmani three times. You do Pranayama three times minimum. You are cleansing those three tattvas, elements in you. Good. So now I'm sitting there purified. Then comes, in our practice, digbandhan. Digbandhan. Dig means directions. Bandhan means securing, tying. You secure the directions. How? You make a little sound. And while you are making the sound, there are several mantras that are used in Aghor. You can say Mahakali, Mahalakshmi, Mahasaraswati, Devatabhyo Namah. By saying that, you three times. Or Sri Guru, Param Guru, Adi Guru, Charanapadukabhyo Namah. Three times. Digbandhan it is called. Means by charging this yantra, your body, with those mantras, when you make the sound, wherever that sound goes, it fortifies you, it protects you. Nothing can penetrate that fort that you create. Everything is in this atmosphere. In olden days, people would go and find seclusion in places that were shunned by others, fearful places, cremation grounds, ruins, dens of the forest, bank of the river. So people would go to find seclusion in these desolate places. And as we all know, there's fear that creeps in. Maybe the ghost, the spirits, the who knows what. So this was another kriya that was given, that is given, to provide that safe space for you, for us, that you can sit and do the darshan, be face to face with the divinity. So you got digbandhan. When you go to India, in our ashrams, and you see people practicing, these three things you will see. It's a part of your practice. You'll see people sitting down, doing pranayam, doing achmani, and then clapping. And you may not know what is that all about, but this is what it is. It's a kriya. Kriyas are just rituals, but it's the ritual that make whatever we do sacred. And it gives little meaning to your practice too. It prepares us. God doesn't need incense. We need incense to bring ourselves in that mode of devotion. God doesn't care whether you bow down or kneel or lie or run. As long as devotion is in your heart, that's all it matters. But you need it. The very moment you go to a temple, a church, an altar, you put your forehead to the ground, something happens in you. A chemical change happens in you. The feeling of devotion, feeling of surrender, feeling of letting go all the burden I'm carrying on my shoulders happens. The very moment your forehead touches the ground, all the weight you're carrying on your shoulders rolls off. That is why in all different traditions, it's practiced. You bow. The very moment you bow, all the weight you're carrying on your shoulders just rolls out. You can practice it even at your home. When you are burdened, bothered, heavy, and you don't know what to do, try this. Just collect yourself and just think about that higher, the greater, that has no name, form, gender, just presence. Evoking that presence, remembering that presence, just put your forehead on the ground. See what happens. It's a kriya. Kriya helps. Kriya separates us from the mundane. And in the beginning we have an altar, we have our asana, you got your pranayama, you got your achmani, you got your digbandhan. So these are all things that we do in our carved out space. But it's not limited only to that space. You can carry this out into the world. In the world, how to bring Kriya in your daily life? You're not carrying a little water pot, and then what do you do? There are some Kriyas, Digbandhan, as I talked about. You can use that. Bring that Kriya in your daily life. Sometimes you are in a situation where you feel cornered, pressed against the wall. You don't know what else to do. But you do need a little support. Then just recollect yourself. Without making any gestures, the other begin to look at you, what is he doing now? Just recollect yourself mentally. And take a few deep breaths. And if you need a little bit more, just make a little sound. You don't have to do this, you can just do this. Or some sound, but it's not a nervous sound. If you're not mindful, then it could be a nervous sound. But you can make it a Kriya by knowing what you are doing. Do it with an intention, a knowledge. And the very moment you do that, that I'm doing a Digbandhan to protect myself. You can do it in a way that nobody knows but you. And you will see that help is there. Kriya. So Digbandhan can be carried out into the world. And if you have a little bit more time, you can bring pranayama, achmani, Digbandhan, all three. Pranayama you can do very casually sometimes. Nobody knows. So pranayama, you can do it. You don't have to do all this, but just you can still do it. And if that's causing a little thing, you can just do it in a way that nobody really knows what you are doing, but just you know it. Or even if that's difficult, just do nice deep breaths. Take a nice deep breath and hold on to your breath. Hold the breath at the throat and slowly breathe it out. Do two or three times, and if you are alone and you can do it, you can do manasik puja, like just visualize yourself doing this, Om Tat Sat, Achmani, and do a little this. So you can bring all this practice into your day, into your workplace, but make sure you do it in such a way that nobody else really gets distracted or notices it even. It is said, Gupta Yogi Pragata Bhar, that whatever you do in your own secret way, that is the yoga. And the very moment it becomes an exhibition, it's something different. It's a stage play. So I see sometimes people try to become very holy and they got 10 malas and this and that, and it's exhibitionism. We don't need to exhibit it. We just need to keep it very low-key so you don't draw any attention to yourself. And the less attention you draw, the deeper you can go in your practice. And just like your mantra is secret, your Kriya is secret. Anything that's sacred to you is secret. It's not a thing to exhibit. I see some people come to talk to me and they got a mala and they're just doing this and talking to me and the mala is going on. And maybe they need to do that to remind themselves, but it draws your attention to the mala more than to you. So Kriya is sacred and it's secret. Then it works for you, then it has the power. Bring your practice in such a way, do it in such a way that you can do it anytime, anywhere, and it's just you who knows what you're doing. And if you are practicing at your home, if you have an altar, you do this, I would recommend to bring these three in it. Pranayama, the Achmani, Digbandhan. So that's about your practice. Let's go have some chai.